FM. Listen in colour.
So on the last leg of his three-day residency at London's Jazz Cafe, Eric Benet still manages to make time to talk with us at Jazz FM. Eric, thank you so much for popping into the studio.
Well, thank you for having me.
A friend of mine went to see you yesterday at a Jazz Cafe and she said you were absolutely wonderful.
She approved.
She approved. And then she said, can you kiss him for me?
Well, then we got some work to do today.
Okay, making me all blush now. And I was like, if only. So, Eric, listen, let's talk about an album that you've been keeping away from the UK market, The One.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I know it's on your own record label.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's called The One for a very special reason.
Well, it's the answers, you know, the answer answers both questions. I've been dreaming and hoping my entire career to take my career in my own hands and have my own record label and release my own music on this label. And finally, this is the one.
That's the why.
Yeah.
And why are you keeping it away from us?
Why have I kept it away?
Yes, from the UK market.
Well, it was just a matter of timing. When you are the head of the record label, it's a blessing in many ways, and it's quite a challenge in other ways. I mean, you know, having complete autonomy and being in control and calling the shots, that's all wonderful. But then at the end of the day, you have to sign all the checks.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of, you know, just timing it so that you know, I could give it a proper promotion, give the record a proper promotion here and get a nice first start back home, which we did. So everything is on schedule.
Okay. And when can we expect it over here?
I think we're going to release the record in September.
Okay. Not long. We'll look forward to that.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Now, I know that your daughter India has co-written and sang on the album as well. Tell us about that.
Well, it's always a joy to be in be anywhere near my daughter. She's an incredible individual, but she's also proving herself to be an amazing vocalist and songwriter. And there's a song that we did together on the album called Music, and pretty much just describes our relationship. And she's just phenomenal. You know, she'll just go into the vocal booth and knock it out every time. And that's daddy trying not to be biased, but she really does. She's just incredible. And right now she's third year at the University of Southern California. So after she finishes, you know, we'll take a look at her her dreams and her goals. And, you know, she's been bitten by the studio bug, so that's pretty much where she wants to go. So we'll plot a course.
I can well imagine. Yeah, like father, like daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I saw a clip of you somewhere on television saying that out of all your collaborations, India's the one that you most enjoy collaborating with.
Absolutely. And I certainly don't mean to insult you know, the incredible artists that I've been blessed and fortunate to be able to work with, from Faith Evans to Wyclef to Michelle Indigo Cello to, oh my God, Earth, Wind and Fire to, you know, it's been quite a ride. But being in the studio with your child and just seeing them shine and soak up the whole studio vibe and learn so quickly and adapt and adjust, it's just an amazing feeling for a father.
Yeah, I can well imagine. Yeah. And what does India think about you when you strut your stuff and all the women like are in a frenzy because of Eric Benet?
The novelty of it never ceases to give her incredible humor. And, you know, she's just, you know, if they could only see you at home. You know,
she's like, really?
Like, what's the big deal? Are you serious?
And, you know, I think on that same program where you were talking about, you know, she's the best collaborator, I think you also said that when you guys hang out, most people think she's your wife, or some people think she's your wife.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Especially overseas, like if we happen to, you know, if I take her somewhere where it's tropical and, you know, some beach, some amazing place, and whatever locals will come up to us when we're at dinner and, oh, so you're on your honeymoon, huh? Yeah. I don't know what accent that was. That was just random foreign accent. But, you know, and my daughter's reaction is the same every time. It's, ew.
Share a day, I walk away, feeling showered with music in my life.
And speaking about wives, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I know that on the album, you've got a song for your wife. Mm. I think you used that as a way to propose to her.
Yeah. The song that I actually used to propose to my wife was a song called Never Want to Live Without You on the Lost in Time CD, which was my very last Warner Brothers CD. And this is a beautiful song. I'm very happy with how the song turned out, and I'm very happy that it worked for the proposal. But yeah, my wife is an amazing woman, and you know, we've just welcomed Lucia Bella, this incredible blessing of a child, and life has just been wonderful. You know, Lucia is 18 months old now. And we actually, my wife and I, we actually wrote a song that when she was pregnant with Lucia, I would just sing this melody to prenatally to Lucia. And it was just a melody that I would hum over and over again. And shortly before Lucia was born, I said to my wife, you know, why don't you and I write some lyrics to this? It's pretty much sounds like a lullaby to me. And it's Lucia's Lullaby on the album, The One. It's the last song on the record.
Mm. I'm loving the name Lucia Bell. So you got all these lovely names around you. Lucia Bella, India, Manuela. Mm. Then you have Eric.
Yeah, I know. It's like my mom. Well, I know. It's like Nordic God. Really, Mom? But...
Gently this world spins beneath Mother's sun. So sweetly she sets out of sight. Hush now, my darling, for our day is done. One kiss and I'll tell you goodnight.
It's really interesting because my wife comes from a very colorful heritage. Mm-hmm. She's Egyptian and Italian. So Lucia is, we've told my wife's mom to only speak Arabic to Lucia. And we've told my wife's dad to only speak Italian. And our maid only speaks Spanish. So Lucia is like quadrilingual now. She's, you know, she's only 18 months old, but she's, you know, she's saying things, and you know, to me sometimes it sounds like baby talk, but my wife is like, oh, you want a spoon? Okay, here we go.
Cucchiaio.
You know, it's like, oh, that spoon. Okay, awesome. Well, wow. Learn something every day.
That's superb. Absolutely superb.
Yeah.
So we've got a lullaby for Lucia on the album. What are your favorite songs from the album?
Well, my favorite song to sing is actually the lullaby, and right. Lucia actually requests it every night.
Aww.
You know, it's like she's, you know, it takes her a little while to get to sleep, and she'll say, "Dada, sing Dada song." It's Dada song. They sing it all the time, so I'll just sing the melody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Let's see, one of my favorite songs to perform, I really enjoy performing News for You.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of my homage to like Frankie Beverly and Maze and Earth, Wind and Fire and that whole kind of vibe. So, the record is just full of, if I do say so myself, just full of like gems, just incredible songs.
Yeah.
And, you know, the freedom of, you know, not having the major record label breathing over your shoulder, not so much that that's what they were doing at Warner Brothers, but, you know, having your own label now, it's just, I can just go in the studio, I can try things, I can do whatever I want to do, and I can make it feel however I want to feel, knowing at the end of the day, I don't have to campaign with anybody in a suit to get them to release the album.
Yeah. How about the song Harriet Jones? Because you know, the lyrics in it is saying pretty, pretty girls all over me. I'm thinking, what does your wife think about that? You're telling her what she already knows already.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just occupational hazard.
Favorite classic Eric Benet songs?
There are quite a few of those. There was an album that I did that here in the UK, you guys are more familiar with it than back home, an album called Better and Better. Mm-hmm. And it was never actually released. One of the other casualties of being on a major record label. But it was really frustrating because I recorded this album like right around, I don't know, it must have been 2002. And I remember turning it in, just exploding with joy and pride on this project that I worked on, you know, and like, I'm finally going to take it to the label and present it to them. And they're just going to love this record as much as I do. Because for me, I felt like it was a record where I really wasn't trying to do what was on the radio or what was hot then. I was trying to think forward, and but very musical and very soulful also. And they didn't like it. And so he decided it wasn't going to come out. And I was just, you know, as you can imagine, I was devastated. Mm. But I was convinced that on all my albums yet to come out, I would sneak a few of the Better and Better songs on. And so on my next CD, which was the Hurricane CD, I managed to sneak two Better and Better tracks on that. Pretty Baby and I Want to Be Loved.
Yeah.
And Pretty Baby is probably one of my, you know, favorite.
Yeah.
One of my favorite songs that I've recorded. And
yeah, yeah. I like that track as well. And I also like Why You Follow Me.
Oh, that's...
I understand that was more of a hit over here, over in the UK than over in America.
Absolutely. It's one of those songs where the audience will be very upset if I don't perform that. And I actually got a chance to do that. A lot of that album, I collaborated with a brilliant musician, guitar player who's since left us, Spanky. Chalmers Alfred, which is a very strange name, but that was his real name. But we all called him Spanky, and you can find him all on D'Angelo's CDs and he's probably on Lauryn Hill as well. But and Ali Shaheed, I did that song with Ali Shaheed and Spanky.
Now, I must ask you, Eric, did you always know you wanted to be a singer, and who influenced you? Did?
Yes.
And what were your influences as you were growing up?
My primary influences would be my older sisters and my older brother, I think. Obviously, there were, you know, there's the obvious answer of the musician, the recording artists who were my main influences. But I felt like my older sisters and my older brother were not only my introduction to those recording artists, such as, you know, obviously Stevie Wonder, the Steely Dan, the Rufus and Chaka Khan, and, you know, the Beatles, and the list goes on and on. But my older sisters and brother, they really, it's almost like they, I was immersed in music because of them. Mm. I was the baby, and I grew up in this home, which was very strange, the more I think about it, but they had subscriptions to industry magazines, you know, when they were teenagers. They had subscriptions to Downbeat magazine, Billboard magazine, and whatever the other, you know, usually now I realize that only industry people have these magazines, but my family so loved music that they wanted to read about all the hot new artists coming out, and they wanted to read about the albums that they loved. And so it was just this environment and this complete adoration of not just music, but the music business. And so, and you know, not only that, but also, they all played instruments. They all sang perfect pitch. So I grew up in this home where, you know, they would break out into harmony, and as soon as I was...
No pressure then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was how we communicated with each other. It was how we communicated our love and fun, and, you know, and eventually, as early as 3 or 4 years old, they would give me, you know, my voice hadn't changed yet, so, you know, they would give me a nice little soprano note, and so... in the harmony. And so I learned at a very early age how to stay on my note and not let the alto note make me go flat or sharp. And so, I mean, it was a beautiful childhood. And I'm really, really grateful for them and the blessing that is my family.
So with all the music that was surrounding you as you were growing up, and of course, surrounding you now, who would you say is your favorite artist, and what is your favorite song?
That's one of those impossible questions to answer. I could probably, as soon as you said favorite artist, immediately I go to Stevie Wonder. I mean, I don't know. He's just like, I don't know. I said it once before somewhere. Like, he's like the Mozart of this, or at least my generation. There are so many genres that he's managed to master, and he's managed to make music so much his own. You know, it's you know, I really don't know any other artist that, you know, if once a keyboard player just plays a certain voicing, a chord, it's like, oh, that's a Stevie chord. You know, or, oh, that's a Stevie melody. That's a Stevie run. And, you know, I just think he's brilliant. And it was one of the few times that I was actually starstruck meeting someone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. We're all starstruck here, actually, hanging out with you, Eric, I must say.
It's really not that deep. In India, my daughter will tell you. But thank you.
Eric, tell us about future plans then.
Well, the record label, Jordan House Records, is off to a wonderful start, and we're actually going to start signing a few artists.
Fabulous.
Very, very soon. Actually, we have some deals in the process right now, so hopefully as soon as first quarter of next year, we'll be releasing a few releases on Jordan House, and I'm so excited about that. I'll go back into the studio near the end of the year to start another CD, and you know, it's all diapers and and doing daddy all over again,
and learning Spanish and Arabic. Well, and
I need to catch up with Lucia now. She's got quite the start on me, so
I think she has. Eric, thank you so much for coming to Jazz FM, and all the very best.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Jazz FM Uncut. Jazz FM.